Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacey Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Yud Gimel, Chapter 13. Once David's kingship has been accepted by all of Bnei Israel, David requests to transfer the Ark, the Aron, from Kiryat Yarim, where it has been since it was returned by the Philistines after they kidnapped it during one of their victorious battles before there was a king over Israel, and Eli was the high priest. You can read about this battle in Shmuel Aleph, chapters 4 through 6. While the Philistines initially considered their capture of the Aron a great victory, they quickly realized that possession of this holy object was more than they could handle, as they suffered many physical ailments. They decided to return the Ark on a cart led by two unyoked milk cows, where they followed it to the border near Beit Shemesh, where the cows eventually brought it. The people of Beit Shemesh did not react appropriately, and many were killed on that tragic day. As a result, the Ark sat untouched for many years in the nearby village of Kiryat Yarim, in the home of Avi Nadav. It is important to know these details of how the Ark was returned to Israel to appreciate some of the mistakes David and his people made in their first attempt to transfer the Ark to Yerushalayim. The parallel passage to our chapter in Divrei Hayamim is Shmuel Bet, chapter 6. It is interesting to note that this chapter makes up the bulk of the Haftarah for Parshat Shmini, which opens with the strange fire that Aaron's sons bring to the altar in the Mishkan, for which they are tragically killed by Hashem. Notice the similarity between the names of Aaron's sons, Nadav and Avihu, and the name of the man who has been storing the Ark in his home and whose son will also die tragically, Avi Nadav. David gathers all of Israel together and suggests they move the Aron to Yerushalayim. This is his proposal in verse 3. V'naseba et Aron Elokeinu Eleinu, ki lo drashnuhu bimei Sha'ul. And let us bring the Ark of our God around to us, for we did not seek him in the days of Sha'ul. Mitzudat David explains that the mention of Sha'ul is because when Sha'ul killed all the Kohanim of Nov, he lessened the honor of the Aron. The Malbim in Sefer Shmuel lists 6 mistakes that were made in the process of trying to transfer the Aron. We can see some of them in our chapter, beginning with verse 7. Vayarkivu et Aron ha'elokim al agala chadasha mi beit Avinadav ve'uza ve'achyo nohagim ba'agala. And they set the Ark of Hashem on a new cart from the house of Avinadav, and Uzzah and Achayo drove the cart. Setting the Ark upon a cart was their first mistake. Malbim reminds us of the explicit command in the Torah, in Bamidbar chapter 7, to always carry the Ark on the shoulders of the Levi'im. In fact, while the other two Levi families, Gershon and Merari, were given carts to transport the parts of the Mishkan that were under their jurisdiction, the Kahat family was not, as they were in charge of the Aron and other holy objects and needed to transport them on their shoulders. The Gemara in Sota 35 describes this mistake of David as one even school children know not to do. The second mistake on Malbim's list is that Uzzah and Achayo drove the cart. He should have learned from the Philistines, who let the cows direct the cart. Not mentioned in our chapter are the next 3 mistakes. 1, that Uzzah and Achayo themselves carried the Aron, even though they were not Levi'im. 2, that they did not use poles as a carrying device, but rather directly touched the Aron. And 3, that they walked before the cart instead of showing it honor by walking behind. Another thing they should have learned from the Philistines, ironically. The final 2 acts of negligence can be found in our chapter in verse 8. V'David v'kol Yisrael mesachakim lifnei ha'elokim v'kol oz uv'shirim uv'kinorot uv'nevalim uv'tupim uv'mitzilataim uv'chatzotzrot. And David and all Israel made merry before God with all their might, and with songs, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. the act of making merry, Misachakim, was not the appropriate solemn joy for this occasion. And the choice of unconventional instruments, there are more listed in Shmuel Bet, also showed a lack of reverence. The final act of disregard for the holiness of the ark comes in verse 9. Vayavo'u ad goren kidon, vayishlach uza et yado le'echoz et ha'aron, ki shamtu habakar. And they came to Goren Kidon, and Uzzah stretched forth his hand to take hold of the ark, because the oxen stumbled. The rabbis in Sota explain that Uzzah misjudged his role in this transporting of the ark and acted inappropriately. They say, the Holy One, blessed be He, said to him, Uzzah, the ark carried its bearers when it crossed the Jordan. All the more so, is it not clear that it can carry itself? Perhaps Uzzah fell prey to a certain arrogance to which we were all vulnerable, that Hashem needs our help and that we should interfere to straighten things out for him. Hashem controls the world and does not need our protection to keep from falling. Mitzudat David explains that it was a lack of faith on his part that he thought Hashem's Aron would fall to the ground. The next verse describes Hashem's anger at Uzzah and how he killed him because he stretched forth his hand upon the ark. The rabbis disagree in Sota as to the extent of Uzzah's disrespect in that moment. They say, the verse states, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, Hashal. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar disagreed over the interpretation of this verse. One says, Hashem smote him for his forgetfulness, Shaloh, because he did not remember that the ark can carry itself. And one says, Hashem smote him because he lifted the edges, shulayim, of his garment in front of the ark and relieved himself in its presence. Whichever act of disrespect Uzzah actually committed, it is important for all of us to maintain an awareness of the holy when we are in a synagogue or in the presence of a holy object. In verse 11, we learn of David's anger, which is expressed differently than that of Hashem's. Vayichar li David ki faratz Hashem peretz be'uza, vayikra l'makom hahu peretz uza, ad hayom hazeh. And David was angered, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called that place Peretz Uzzah until this very day. Whereas Hashem's anger was expressed with the Hebrew Vayichar af, David's says Vayichar leh. Malbim explains David expressed anger at himself and not at an external person or object. David was disappointed in himself that he did not create an atmosphere of greater respect toward the Aron, which caused such a tragedy to befall the people. This causes David to feel an emotion we do not usually associate with him, fear. Vayira David et ha'elokim bayom hahu lemor, hech avi elai et aron ha'elokim. And David feared God on that day, saying, how will I bring the ark of God to me? Malbim explains that David always served Hashem with love and joy. He sensed this downgrade in his service of Hashem from love to fear and doubted his ability to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim. He therefore left the Aron in the home of Oved Edom, who was also a Levite, so that they would be set up for success for their second attempt to move the Aron. Radak adds that he was one of the gatekeeper Levi'im, so it was even more appropriate for him to watch the Aron. It remained there for 3 months, during which time no one was harmed and his household was blessed. This would also ease the people's fears that anyone who came in contact with the Aron would be damaged in some way. The Gemara in Brachot 63b describes how Oved Edom was blessed. Rabbi Eliezer, son of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, began to speak in honor of the hosts and taught, it is stated, the Lord has blessed the house of Oved Edom because of the Ark of God. Isn't this an a fortiori, kal vechomer, inference? Just as in reward for honoring the Ark, which neither ate nor drank, but but before which Oved Edom simply swept and sprinkled water to settle the dust, he was treated this way and merited a blessing. All the more so should one who hosts a Torah scholar in his home, providing him with food and drink, and availing him of his possessions without concern for his personal gain, be rewarded with such a blessing. The Gemara asks, what is that blessing which Oved Edom was blessed? Rav Yehuda bar Zavita said, this is Chamot and her 8 daughters-in-law, each of whom bore 6 in a single womb. As it is stated, and Oved Edom had sons, Peulatai the 8th, and in the continuation of the same verse it is written, for God blessed him, in Chronicles 1 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 4 through 5. Apparently, these 8 children were the blessing. As it is stated, all these were the sons of Oved Edom, they and their sons and their brethren, able men in strength for the service, 62 of Oved Edom, from 1 Chronicles 26, 8. Each of the 9 women gave birth to 6 sons, for a total of 54. If one adds the original 8, there were 62 altogether. May we all merit such blessings for hosting Torah scholars in our homes. Thank you for studying together, Li'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Zvi Yosef.